Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to the first ever playoff edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchi, and my co-host today is Brian Johnson. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Charch.
We've done the show 25 years now. We've never gone into the offseason at all, including the postseason. First time ever.
Yeah, normally it's pack up after week 16, and it's see you in August. Yeah, Even though we do see each other in the offseason, but
yeah,
not behind the mic, unless we're podcasting. But
yeah, which we do as well. This is going to be fun. Instead of breaking down the Week 17 matchups, because you really should not be crowning your champion in Week 17. You already know that. And you know, I think 95% of our listeners aren't doing it that way. The other 5% are just stubborn, and they've heard all the rationale, and I'm not even going to get into that. We're going to spend this podcast talking about the playoffs, because most people are going to hear this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of next week, rolling into the playoffs. Playoffs fantasy football, so much fun, and you get redemption. Most of us didn't win our leagues, right? One in 10 did. Here's some redemption and a chance to extend the fun. We're going to talk about all the different ways you can play playoff fantasy football. But first, before we dive into that too much, you can also keep playing DFS as well.
Yeah,
if you want to.
Week 17 is really made for, is the DFS.
It is for DFS.
Now, my overarching strategy is don't get cute with the teams with nothing to play for. Yes, you can go out and chase the Robert Griffin III, mm-hmm. or even like the dumpster diver teams, like the. But you never know what their intentions are.
Sure, and there is some danger with that, right? Does Miami decide they want to get one last look at Josh Rosen?
Right.
Well, now what? You just started Devontae Parker.
So I like to key in on the teams that still have something to play for, mm-hmm. and we can run through those really quick. So the teams that have made the playoffs but are locked in, probably going to rest their starters. Baltimore. Yeah,
Buffalo, Minnesota.
Fade all those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Teams that made the playoffs, but it's still very fluid, i.e. something to play for.
Yeah.
New England, Kansas City, San Francisco, New Orleans, Green Bay, Seattle, and even Houston, who can move up to 3 and knock out their division rival, Tennessee. And then winning in Tennessee and Philadelphia, and in with some help is Pittsburgh, Oakland, and Dallas. So those are the only teams I'm advocating for DFS usage, really.
Because you know they're going to play to win. All their starters. You know, there are some teams out there that may not be playing to win in Week 17.
Oh, yeah, like who?
You know, draft position changes.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, you know,
yeah.
there's...
So don't just, avoid the mess of the Washingtons and the Giants and the Jets and all that.
What do you think about teams like Chicago playing against a Viking team that has nothing to play for? You know, David Montgomery could easily go off. Vikings will be missing two of their starting linebackers, and who knows how many for injury, and then they might just rest the rest of their starting defense.
Yeah, but you never know, like, third string running back on the Bears could be coach's pet, and he's going to get a ton of run in this game. So there's so many unknowns.
It's clearly not David Montgomery.
Yeah, right?
We can say with a degree of certainty. All right, if you want to try DFS Week 17, please go to fanball.com. And we have Superflex DFS as well, which is super fun, Superflex. So when you're playing playoffs, let's turn our attention back to the playoffs and playoff fantasy football. Mm-hmm. First, just some overarching things, and then we're going to actually talk about some of the formats you might want to try in your leagues. First, test drive new ideas here. If you've got, for your main league, if you've always wanted to try this thing, auctioning, you want to update your scoring system to something else, you want to go PPR, if you want to try Superflex, you know, whatever. This is the time to test drive those ideas with especially reluctant owners in your league. Yeah. Like, the auction's a great example. People get all nervous about an auction. It's going to take too long. It's too hard. I can't get drunk at the draft, all that stuff. Test drive the auction for your fantasy
great
league
idea.
In the playoffs.
And we always say it. We everyone should be auctioning in their regular leagues, but it's a scary notion for a lot of people to do that. But I love dipping your toes in the water in the playoffs, but no one ever goes back from auctioning, though.
No,
right?
Nobody goes back. No, it's a one-way deal.
It's a great place to test drive, though.
For sure. So what scoring system changes are another one. Maybe you want to try fantasy without kickers or with kickers or, you know, whatever you want to do, this is the time to do it. I've had a lot of people ask me if you can run a guillotine league in the playoffs, And I think you can.
Why not?
This would be a chance to test your water on the test the waters for a guillotine league. And here's how you would do it. You'd start with eight teams, and you would chop two every week, I think. You could do it with four teams and chop one every week. But I think eight teams, the bottom scoring two every week get chopped. I think you'd have to do bigger rosters here because you're not going to be redrafting and you're not going to be using free agency. You're just going to hold all the guys you have. Part of the fun of Guillotine League really is the redraft, is getting going after those free agents. But so in a perfect Guillotine League, Brian, I think you would. So if you and I get cut in the first round of the playoffs, all of our players become available. And ideally, the surviving players could have a redraft of all of the players in the playoffs, including my guys that got dropped and your guys that got dropped.
Because you really wouldn't want to draft players on a bye in the Guillotine League, right?
No, there's no multiplier. Super dangerous.
Yeah,
right.
So you're going to have to do a redraft every week. I think you're right. So,
or you have to have really deep rosters so that your bye week guys, you know, just aren't starters. You're not losing that much. One other thing, as a broad topic, before we get into the specific things, where to host these is a real problem for people. When we were talking about this on Twitter, and I'm at Paul Charchi, and Brian is at BTXJ. People are like, well, this all sounds great, but where do I play this? And you know, for all of these great ideas, mostly, I think you have two options. Play at My Fantasy League, which is free in the playoffs. It's a service that does everything, basically, but it's not the world's easiest service. No. But it's free, and if you dork around with it, you'll probably get it to your settings. Or you're just going to do it by hand. You're going to do it yourself. You're going to do it in Excel, or you're going to do it in a Google Doc, or you're going to do it by fax. If you're gonna do it by smoke signal to the rest of the league, whatever, text message, I think you're gonna go old school on it.
Yeah, I definitely advocate for MFL, My Fantasy League. I mean, they charge what, $70 a league for the regular season, so getting to do it for free, that is that's a definite bonus. And like you said, it's very customizable, a little tough to use, but you get the hang of it pretty quick.
Yeah, I like My Fantasy League, and the people behind it are great. Otherwise, you could probably do it offline. ESPN and Yahoo. I looked today, Brian, and this is the week before the playoffs as we're recording this. They don't have anything live right now, but I think they both have playoff fantasy games, but you got to play their style.
Yeah.
You got to play their game, and that's it. There's no customizability. So I think a lot of us are doing on spreadsheet. That's my playoff league. It's been running on spreadsheet for 20 years, my playoff fantasy league. So there's all of that.
It's not too laborious with only 3-4 weeks of action.
Can do it by hand.
It's not too bad.
And honestly, in some ways, for those of us that did it by hand for a long time in the 80s and the 90s, for me, the 80s.
I did too, believe it or not.
You're young enough to have done that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, okay. Then, yeah, it feels a little old school. It's a little fun like it used to be. I wouldn't want to do it every week, but I don't mind doing it in the playoffs. Broadly, in the playoffs for fantasy football, you have two decisions to make. Are you playing a traditional fantasy style league with like eight teams and a draft? Or something like that. Or are you doing a style of play, Brian, that could apply to 100 leagues or 100 players or 1,000 players in pool leagues? So I'm broadly calling them like fantasy style playoff leagues and then pool leagues.
Okay.
The pool leagues, again, unlimited number of players, shared player pool in a pool league. The fantasy style is much like what we run during the season. All right, so let's I want to break down some fantasy league styles here. First, here's the league I've been in for whatever reason. We'll call this the Charge Playoff Fantasy League. Exactly six teams in each league because there are 12 playoff teams. That way
you can call them conferences almost, right?
Not really. So there are six. I play with six teams in my playoff league. Mm-hmm. And the six teams, that means Brian gets two team quarterbacks because there are 12 NFL teams in the playoffs. I get two team quarterbacks. You get two team kickers. I get two team kickers, et cetera, et cetera. So the way I play is two team quarterbacks, four running backs, four receivers, two tight ends, and two team kicker and two team defense. So that's the format that I use. And once you take the Patriots quarterback or whichever team, then I can't take the Patriots quarterback, obviously.
Right.
And it's team quarterback because there's no pickups. Mm-hmm. There's no drops. There's no ads. You draft everybody and you just score everybody that's still alive. there's no moves, there's no bench, you just, everybody scores. That is how I play. Now, do you have a particular, by the way, as a side note here, do you have a preference for trying to draft wild card teams or avoiding wild card teams? Because that's the key delineator of success in a playoff fantasy team.
It is a very roster. Polarizing strategy to either fade the playoff teams or draft them.
The wild card teams,
I'm sorry, because it's one way or another. They're going to get bounced early, or you have like...
You get four games.
As a former Giants fan or a Giants fan on hold, that's when the teams get hot going into the wild. And then you accumulate more points, and especially, and we'll get into the formats where, you know, the points double each round.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit on teams with a bye until the second round, even though you get double points.
Although a lot of teams get double points there.
You get a goose egg in the wild card round because they're not playing, of course. But in general, I don't really know. It depends on the year, really, which way I'm going to go with it. It depends on the wild card team. As of right now, I'm not feeling too good about the Vikings. I don't know how many Vikings drafting. In general, I would still just not even look at if they're a wild card or if they have a bye or a division winner, just how well I think they're going to do moving forward in the playoffs. And
here's why I draft lots of wild card teams, and here's why. One, I get four game upside. So the only way you can get four games out of your player is if you go wild card to Super Bowl. And you may say to yourself, well, that never happens. But in reality, it happens pretty often. Mm-hmm. Like one out of every 4 years, you've got a wild card team that gets to the Super Bowl. Maybe it's even one every three. I should really run the analysis at some point. You mentioned the Giants, the Steelers did it not that long ago. It's by no means impossible to do. You really can do it. So there's that, which is one of the reasons I like it. The other is this. If I told you that, let's say you took the Ravens, and the Ravens were going to get knocked out in they were going to make it to the AFC Championship game and get knocked out. You feel like, well, it's pretty good. I got to the AFC Championship game. I got one game away from the playoffs, but the Ravens only played two games. If I can get a wild card winner, I got two games. All I need is a wild card winner, and I've got the equivalent of a team that got a bye getting to the championship game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same two games. I'm looking for the number of games. I like the wild card teams.
I would lean that way as well.
All right. Let's talk about some other options. You can redraft before every round. You can redraft basically, you know, you can have a full redraft after every round. This takes a committed group of owners. Have you ever done it this way?
I have not. I would. I would be that committed, but I've had trouble finding owners that committed that would partake in this format, but I like it.
I think you do it in the office.
Yeah.
So you'd go, okay, every week of the season, or every week of the playoffs, on Tuesday, we're all going out to lunch every Tuesday, and we're going to draft for that week's games.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick whatever, you know, you pick whatever roster size you want, but it can be a smaller roster size if you're doing it this way, because nobody's going to draft bye week teams, and by the time you get to the Super Bowl, you're only drafted. There's only two quarterbacks to be had. Now, if you're going to do it this way, one of the things that people will do, Brian, I find this fascinating. If you're going to redraft after every week, knowing that there's only two quarterbacks for the playoffs, no roster requirement, none. You don't have to fill a quarterback spot.
Just all flex, basically.
Just all flex.
Yeah,
it's an all flex roster.
Why not?
You could.
You could just do
an all flex roster.
whatever makes it fun.
Yes. So then you can keep drafting all the way to the Super Bowl, and when the two quarterbacks go off the board, fine. You're just not, you know, you're gonna go running back or whatever. So an all flex roster. So I think that works. How about this as a variant? And by the way, thanks to the people on Twitter that gave me some of the variations they've got. Using an auction format, and you auction between every round, but the money you spend in the first round is gone. The auction amount does not reset. So if you save a bunch of money in the first round, you can go to the second round and you might control the board because you got the most money at that point.
And what would you recommend? Just going cheap on wild card players in the first round and then saving all your money for the Lamar Jacksons and the...
But somebody could auction Lamar Jackson in the first round.
That's true.
Sit on him for a week.
Yeah.
Right? Although if you're doing a fresh auction with all new players, then yeah, you would save money knowing Lamar Jackson's coming. So you could do auctioning that way. But I like the part where you just don't reset the cap between every round.
Yeah.
You give an advantage to those people that have saved some money. All right, I want to take a quick break, and then I want to talk about the pool, so you can how you can play fantasy to scale to 10 people or 50 people or 100 people or 1,000 people in the playoffs when we come back right after this. Okay, Brian, we're back. Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson.
Hey, George.
Play, if you would, the NFC postseason hold'em game. This is through Fanball. It's got a prize pool of $125,000, I believe.
Life-changing money.
Life-changing money in the playoffs.
NFC.shgn.com.
That's too hard. That's too hard, but yes.
That's what it is.
It's the NFC postseason hold'em. And each week, the way it works is, and by the way, it's $200 to play. So it's not cheap to get into, but it's a $125,000 payout.
Yeah.
Each week, the number of points an NFL player earns gets multiplied by the number of consecutive weeks that player's been on your roster. So again, if you can get that four-week wild card run, your multiplier is times four on your Super Bowl players who came from the wild card, which, by the way, that's how you win this thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Again, it's the NFC postseason hold'em. You can Google that. You can. It's accessible via Fanball or this FBC.SHGN.
One more. NFC.SHGN.
We got to have a better system than that.
Sports Hub Games Network is SHGN. Yeah.
That's too hard. All right, so we encourage you to check that out. Let's talk about pools with a near unlimited number of participants. I know you've got some pools you want to talk about. I've got a couple of them here as well. Do you want to go first or second?
Well, mine is more actually around the teams and not the players, and there are a limited number of participants. So you go first, and then I'll go over.
Right.
If people
That's
just want to, you know, are afraid to do fantasy for whatever reason, you can still just play playoff games with using the teams, and there's a lot of fun games to do. I know, but still. I do both, but
all right, okay. 12 position. Here's it. So there's a pool that, you could send this off to everybody in your contact list. 12 positions to fill using players from all 12 teams, one player per team. So if you choose Patrick Mahomes, you can't have Travis Kelce, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's you've got 12 positions, probably the ones we talked about before, two quarterbacks, three running backs, three receivers, two kickers, two defense, two tight ends. You fill those out, but only one player per team, NFL team. And then you can, so that's, that's one way to go. And then you just let that ride. You just let that roster ride the whole time.
So you would think kicker and defense are the two you could part with
easiest.
But yes. Maybe, I don't know if that's
Eagles,
the case.
Cowboys,
yeah, but is that
Vikings,
the case really?
Yeah,
I don't know. It depends.
Well, see, it's funny you bring that up. Quarterbacks and kickers are way more valuable in playoff because they're sure points.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we don't draft them very highly in fantasy is because all quarterbacks are the same, all kickers are the same, all defenses are the same, or they don't have a lot of variation.
Right.
But when you don't have one at all because your team's been knocked out, that's a huge differential.
Differential. Big time.
And so I take quarterbacks early in all my playoff stuff, and even the kickers and the defenses. And there are a lot of people that are so ingrained into not taking them. I think it's a huge advantage.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Another playoff pool option. Every round is basically a redraft where you pick one quarterback, in this case, a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end for the playoffs. That's only one, two, three, four positions. But you can only pick, you can't pick a player twice.
So you can pair players together in the same week, like Mahomes and Kelce. But
yes, I could.
Never use them again.
So you got to figure out when you're going to decide pick your spots with those players. And I like that angle. You could go a deeper roster than just one quarterback, one running back, one tight end, one wide receiver if you wanted to, including kicker and defense. But I like the part that you can't pick the player again. So you got to apply a little strategy to that. ESPN's got something called the Gridiron Playoff Challenge. It's a salary cap game, and player salaries increase every week, but you get to hold the old salary from whenever you added that guy. So if you add a wild card guy and he's winning and winning, his salary cap is going to keep going up, but not for you because you locked him in early.
This is a sitting on a players with a bye scenario again, where like Lamar Jackson will be $5 on his bye,
right,
and then 10. But you get him for five if you just
if you're willing to sit on that, sit on the player, yeah.
But we're you and I were kind of advocating not to do that. I don't know. I like having the games under my belt. I don't know.
Yeah, I do too.
Because teams I lose want action their steam all the time too. Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Absolutely. Talk to me about this team-based one that you were mentioning.
There's two. There's confidence pools and NFL. They're called takeover pools. The confidence pools are easy. You can have any number of users, players, whatever in your league, and you take all 12 playoff teams and you assign confidence points to them, 1 through 12. You can only use one number each.
And if I put a 12 on a team, it's my most I have the most confidence in that team.
And every time the team wins
you get that number many of points.
And again, teams that are on bye have fewer opportunities to win, so there's strategy there. If you put your 12 points on a wild card team and they make a run,
I think I would be tempted.
Well.
I would be tempted to put my top 6 points. So numbers 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. I think that's 6. It's 4. 7, 6, all wild cards. Every one of them wild cards. Now I don't have to figure out which wild card teams are going to advance, I'd be rolling the dice that some of them are going to advance. And because
one always gets hot.
Somebody
one or
gets
two
hot,
always
right.
gets hot
now,
going in.
You could just say, well, you know what? I want the Ravens and I want the 12 points and I would get that. And I'd probably put but if I'm in a big pool, you have to go contrarian to some degree, don't you?
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, so pool size is a variable here too, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a pool with 100 players, you have to go contrarian. You can't. This is a little bit like a March Madness pool. Mm-hmm. You have to, at some point, you have to get a little bit lucky, and you have to be the guy that figured out which underdog was going to win some games that nobody saw coming. If you're in a small pool with 10 people or 8 people or 12 people or whatever,
you can go then real you can chalky, go chalky and then just make one contrarian pick. But yeah, I'm with you. If you want to ship the whole thing, you gotta be unique, stand out, and put more than 1 point on the Vikings.
Don't you think? Yeah, right.
I'm sorry to say that to the Minnesota
audience. We're bitter Viking fans here in Minnesota right now as they just got handled by the Packers. This one stung in a way that I was not necessarily prepared
for. In a takeover pool.
What is a takeover?
There's hope for the Vikings because the takeover pool involves the spread.
Okay.
So it works best with 12 or 6 people. So either with 12 people, everyone gets a team, or 6 people, each get 2 teams at the start of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I suggest you pick them rather than like drawing out of a hat or whatever, do a draft. But basically, you have your 2 teams. Like I have, let's say the Vikings and the Saints play, right? I got the Vikings plus 6.5. You have the Saints.
Minus
I cover.
Okay.
I take over your team, even though the Saints won.
Oh.
Because I covered my 6.5.
Yeah.
I take your team over because the Vikings are, they lost. They're out. But they won for me.
Okay.
But I take your team over.
And if I had the Saints and they covered, I would just keep
you move
the Saints.
On and I'm done.
That's kind of cool.
It's fun. And then whoever has the Super Bowl winner against the spread at the end is the winner.
Oh, so it's just last team standing.
Last
standing. Whichever team against the spread.
Yeah.
Ended up winning. All right, so you got to start with exactly
12 or 6.
So 6. You got to start with 6, right?
Well, you can either with 12 people, it's 12. One team. We each have one team for the whole thing, or with 6 people, we have 2 teams.
Couldn't I go 24 players? No, couldn't because they don't all play at the same time.
12 is the most, I think you
12
can do.
Is the most because the most games you have in any one.
You can do anything divisible by 12, really. We could do this head to head where we each have 6 teams.
Yeah.
But
right.
That would be weird because then I'd have both my teams playing against each other probably in some. But yeah, it's a fun. It's easy and it's fun. And
One other reminder for any of these pool systems, if you want to simplify the funds for all these, and especially these big pools that could be 50 or 100, use LeagueSafe for the love of God. All you have to do is just send a link and everybody just pays on that link, and we hold all the funds for the duration of the NFL playoffs. And at the end, you tell us who won, and we release all the funds to the winners. Couldn't be easier. And most of these playoff leagues, it seems like people are playing for $10, $20. Man, getting $10 from 50 people, who wants that?
Good luck.
Just use LeagueSafe. We encourage you to try that. And by the way, there's a bunch of playoff leagues. We have a classified system on LeagueSafe so that if you want to go join a playoff league of some kind, there's a bunch of playoff leagues that are looking for owners at LeagueSafe in the classifieds area. We encourage you to check that out. There you go. We're back every Friday, folks. It's going to be super fun doing Fantasy Football Weekly all off season. I'm going to be sharper rolling into next year's preseason shows than I've ever been. And that means we're going to be breaking down all kinds of stuff throughout the offseason, the free agency moves, you know, all the things that, you know, all rule changes, format changes that we want to talk about, guillotine leagues, the NFL draft, best ball.
We can start talking best ball ADP practically right now.
I know.
They're going to save that for another show.
When do people start drafting best ball for 2020?
Basically when the confetti starts falling at the Super Bowl.
All right, so that's about it. All right, so early February, it starts going. It's unreal. And then next week, and although throughout the playoffs, we'll break down more of the actual games that are happening fantasy style and talk through that a little bit for DFS players and just other people who care about what's coming up from a game impact standpoint.
Now, for those in the Crush Charts Championship on fanball.com, mm-hmm. if you're not in the Crush Charts Championship, you can still play DFS on fanball.com, of course. I got like three or four players real quick. Can I throw them out there?
Yeah, sure.
Some favorites for me at each position.
Yeah.
And again, these are teams that are playing for something. These are only the players I'm targeting. Ryan Tannehill at Houston. Three touchdowns and three straight for Tannehill, including Houston 2 weeks ago. Houston getting flamed by virtually everyone.
Yeah, that secondary is old and not good.
And Houston might fold up shop in a game that Tennessee desperately needs to win. So I'm locking Tannehill in all my lineups.
All right.
Running back, Alvin Kamara. Over the last 5 weeks, Carolina conceding 190-plus combo yards and two whole touchdowns per game to opposing running backs. Kamara didn't score in the first meeting, did top 100 combo yards, but in his previous four against the Panthers, totaled five touchdowns. I think he goes off against
Carolina.
Okay, but
wait. How expensive is he?
He's upper echelon of the running backs.
He's going to be like 7,000 something, right?
He's affordable, though. He's affordable.
But what about Latavius Murray, who's dirt cheap and backup runners get paid against Carolina because they're so bad?
I like it. Why not both?
Well, yeah, the rare running back stack.
It might work there.
It might work. It really might. And Murray's done nothing for weeks. Nobody's taking Latavius Murray right now.
I like it. I like that call charge. Very contrarian.
You know, the Saints are going to the playoffs. Why not work Latavius Murray in a one-sided affair against Will Greer, in which they're going to be ahead? Why not save Alvin Kamara up for the playoffs? You need him to be special in the playoffs. You need him to be healthy on that ankle he's been nursing all season long. Why not run Latavius Murray?
All right, you've convinced me to flip-flop. I like it.
All right.
Real quick, receiver Julian Edelman at home against the Dolphins. So, Miami slot corner Jomal Wiltz is back.
Out. Well, and he's out.
Oh, he's out?
He's out.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, they IR'd him this week.
Well, I don't know if they have anyone. Well,
there's,
probably
there's somebody. There's somebody wearing a number that starts with a 2 or a 3 that's going to try to guard him, and God only even knows who that guy is going to be, but he's worse than Jomal Wiltz.
My gut's telling me this, regardless if it's Jomal or
Joe Moleman.
Edelman, quiet in the first meeting.
It's not Hans Moleman, I'm pretty sure.
I was saying Boo Earns. Edelman quiet when New England won 43-0, understandable, but in his previous five against Miami, logged at least 7 catches in every game, at least 75 yards receiving, totaled 5 touchdowns in those 5 games. I like Edelman a lot.
Yeah, only worry is just the usage has been so low with him because he's got so many injuries. Head, shoulder, chest, I believe.
He was on the field enough last week, though, right?
I don't have a snap count in front of me, but just the usage the last few weeks has been low.
He hasn't popped off in a while. I just feel one coming in week 17.
Yeah, the matchup certainly sings. What about Brady? Nobody wants Brady, right?
Nope.
He's been so mundane. Roughly, I looked this up a couple of days ago. He's going to finish in most of my leagues right around quarterback 22, 23, 24, in that range. Brady is. Mm-hmm. Nobody's interested in him. But obviously, the matchup, though, is golden.
And, you know, Miami wins this. They clinch the number 2 seed. So they'll have no problem New England. They'll have no problem running it up and, you know, airing it out because they're going to have a bye week coming up. So, yeah, I like the Brady call, too. And then lastly, my boy Jacob Hollister at tight end at home against San Francisco. The hammer game, the night game for the NFC West Championship. Mm-hmm. 8 for 62 and a touchdown when these teams met in week 10. And over the last 4 weeks, the Niners' defense has fallen off when covering
tight ends.
They've yielded the most red zone targets and touches to opposing tight ends, who have collectively averaged 6 catches for 69 yards and one whole touchdown during that 4 week span. So, Jacob Hollister.
Niners defense has been much worse broadly, not just tight ends, broadly lately, but they've also been injured all over the place. I think they get virtually everybody back for this one. Richard Sherman came back for most of last game. Quan Williams, D. Ford. They've been, they've been, you know, the injuries have been really a problem for them, but I think they're getting healthy now and then perhaps into the playoffs. See, this is where the Niners can be sneaky in the playoffs. People have seen this inconsistent Niners defense for the last month. Mm-hmm. If they're all getting back to healthy again, that Niners defense is arguably the best in the league. Yeah. When it's all hands on deck. So I think they're going to be a little under the radar. Niners.
I like it.
And if they're a wild card team, ooh, we'll stack that baby.
George Kittle will be a very popular pick if the Niners are a wild card team in any of these playoff games.
Potentially the first overall player, maybe even. Maybe. I mean, who knows? Lamar Jackson's going to be the first player taken in all of them, I think. All right, Brian, thanks for all your help in this podcast. We'll be back next week for another playoff edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. Talk to you later, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.